Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
And it's called Blow You the Trumpet in Zion. And I just want to read you these words, okay? I might sing it a little bit because I would rather sing everything that I'm doing right now than talk about it anyway. It says, tell your children and your children's children of the second coming of our King. He will stand upon the Mount of Olives, salvation to a dying world to bring. Blow you the trumpet in Zion. Our Lord is coming back to earth again. In the holy mountain, sound the warning to the ones who wear the yoke of sin. And then they'd sing it again. Tell your children and your children's children of the second coming of our King. He will stand upon the Mount of Olives, salvation to a dying world to bring. And then it would say, Joel prophesied in all his wisdom, if we fail to walk the righteous path, it will be too late to beg for mercy at the dawning of the day of wrath. And that sounds pretty serious, but every little grandmama in my church will be shouting by the time we got to that part. And then it would say, when the fire begins to fall upon us, what a day of reaping that will be. Sinners, lay aside your earthly pleasures and let the blood of Jesus set you free. Mm. And then it would say, beat your plowshares into swords for battle and your pruning hooks into spears. Fight your battles here on earth for Jesus. When the Savior comes, you will have no fear. And then we'd all be shouting and dancing at this point. There is nothing like old-timey high-heel shoes on a wood floor in a big old church, Holy Ghost church. There's a lot of Holy Ghost in this dress, okay? And they would go back and to tell your children and your children's children. And then they would sing it again, and then they would sing it again, and they would sing it again. It was back the time we didn't have any tracks, so we could sing this song for 3 months. And it was amazing. And they used to have camp meetings at my granddaddy's church, and his church would hold over 1,000 people. So when you got all those people in there and started singing that, and everybody had a guitar and a tambourine and an accordion, and I promise you at one point we had a xylophone. I don't think that was of the Lord, but anyway, by the time we got to that, I mean the Spirit of God was walking through the room, and it made a wrinkle in my brain and my heart and my mind. And I literally just sing that under my breath so many times. Tell your children and your children's children. Tell your children and your children's children. So that song is biblical. So I'm going to read to you some things that I found in the Word of God, okay? In Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 12, I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to stand. I just want you to listen, okay? And this is the NIV version, I think. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you eat, and then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, we must tell our children and our children's children. There is a life-altering effect that a praying woman has over her family. Do you believe that? There is a life-altering effect that a praying woman has over her family. We are, as the word says, the keepers of the home. And it's evident when there's a praying woman in the home, and it's just as evident when there is not one. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. When there is prayer, there is blessing, peace, faithfulness, drive and determination, joy and happiness. Basically, the fruits of the Spirit in a bowl sitting on your kitchen table, as Annabeth says. But when that praying woman is distracted or torn down by the cares of this life and those prayers cease, you begin to see lack of peace, lack of joy, lack of patience, lack of kindness. And suddenly the things that you thought you would never allow in your home, your sanctuary, are okay. So how do we remedy this? You simply start again. You course correct. There's no shame in course correction. In fact, we need it. We need it every day. We all have to do it at some point or multiple points in our walk with God. So let's go back to verse 11. Let's look at that in our text. It speaks of our houses being filled with all kinds of good things, wells, vineyards, olive groves. And we see so many times in the word that wells represent deep things of spirit. Vineyards speak of new wine. Olives speak of and represent anointing and peace. So as a praying, spirit-filled woman of God, it's up to me to make sure that my children and grandchildren have a home filled with the deep things of God and a home filled with new wine and anointing. And we look at those scriptures like they're ours, like somebody in the past did it for us. But the older I get, the more I realize I'm the one making sure that my children and my grandchildren and your children and your grandchildren have that anointing and that peace and the deep things of God that they need to make it. They need that Ancient of Days. They have to have it. And children are sensitive. You don't have to just bring them to church and think that they're not getting anything. Oh, no, they're getting it. They're getting it. I remember things from when I was a little bitty girl. I made my first record. Okay, the first time they were popular, now they're vintage. But the first time they came around, I made my first record with my mama and my daddy, and I was 3. So I have memories. I remember doing ministry from a long, long, long time ago. And I'm 53 now, so that means I've been doing this for, 50 years? Oh, my goodness, I'm so old. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Lord, help me to focus. I'm not old. No, I am, and I'm fine with it. You know, it's up to us as women of God, as mothers, to make sure that our homes are filled with those things. you know, and not the distractions of life and the things that will take away and the things that will drain our spirits into where we're just feel like a bag of bones, just dry bones. You know, it's up to us to make sure that we are being fed and watered and that, that we have that relationship with God. And it's and that when we're fed and watered and we have a communication with God and a communication with Spirit, it automatically flows to our children and our grandchildren and the people in our homes and the people in our lives. It can't help but flow. You got the Holy Ghost living inside of you. If you access that thing, it's going to flow. It's going to just manifest in every area of your life. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, you know, I said, you're not powerful enough to stop God from moving in your life. You're just not. If God said it, you can count on it. If God said that you can be a keeper in your home and make sure that the doors and the gates of your home are someplace where the enemy cannot pass, where distractions and things that would hurt your family and things, they cannot pass the doors of your home. If you have an anointed home, nothing can come into that home unless you let it. And so, ladies, I'm telling you, that's why so many times we are so sensitive to things of spirit, is because the enemy of our souls, and sometimes it's our, girl, it's just our flesh. It's your flesh, okay? I mean, sometimes it just is, you know. You're going to fight that stuff, but I'm telling you, if God said that you can have power over those things, you do not have to be afraid for your home, for your children, for your marriage. You just don't have to be afraid. And I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that I am not strong enough to stop God from moving in my life. If God, let me tell you something, husbands. I know this ain't got nothing to do with y'all today. But if God gave you a godly woman, you better nurture her. You better take care of her. You better listen to her when she says, hey, the Lord's talking to me about something. Man, you got a blessing. You have got a blessing. You have got a blessing. And same thing, women, if God's give you a godly man, well, you just got to trust him, because you're going to want to take control and you can't do it all the time, you know? So anyway, that was free. Take that off the podcast. But I want to remind you of something, and I'm not going to be very long today because I know we all got Mother's Day stuff to do. Chinese food is calling my name, Mom, okay, because I know we're going. I need some sushi. Those babies, sweet mamas and grandmamas and aunts, and you know, they're watching you. They're paying attention to what you do. They're watching you. If everybody fights all the way to church and then you get to church and you're like, oh, God is so good. Oh, God is so good. And they're looking at you like, you literally almost just ran over somebody on the way to church because you were so mad. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Just me? Just me? Okay, just me. It's fine. But they're watching you. If you don't pray, they won't either. If you don't worship, they certainly won't worship. They're watching you. If it's normal to you, and you walk in the house of God and you're actually happy to be there and you're not mad and criticizing everybody in the church, man, they're going to feel that coming from you. And they trust their mama. So if you walk in this place or you get up every morning singing glory, hallelujah, no matter what, and they know when you're doing it in spite of a circumstance. I promise they know. That is going to be the example to them that they need. Lord, I trust you no matter what. You know, I trust you. I still remember my mama praying when I was a little girl. She would go in her room. My mom had nervous breakdowns. She had a hard time. My mama did. But when she was able to break through, I remember being a little bitty girl and I would hear her behind the door crying out to God and praying. And I remember those things. And if it wouldn't be mocking, I could literally tell you exactly how my sweet grandmother, Gervis Elaine Eberhardt, how she sounded when she spoke in tongues. I could tell you because it was that close to me. It was that accessible to me, you know? And so if you worship, they'll worship. If you don't, they're going to think it's fine not to, you know? If they see you pressing towards the mark, they'll be like, I need to press toward, look at mama, look what mama's doing. You know, I'm pressing through. I'm going to make it. If they see you being faithful to the house of God, you won't be able to tear them babies away from it. They'll fall in love with it. If they see you in love with this thing that we have in the house of God, they will fall in love with it. I promise you they will. I promise you they will. And if they see you show up when you can't hardly drag your broken heart out of the bed, and they see you show up, they'll show up. And they'll have confidence that what we believe and what we have is real, because I'm telling you, what we have is real. The Holy Ghost is real. The Spirit of God is real. Jesus is real. Healing is real. Deliverance is real. Spiritual warfare is real. And they're going to learn from you. And dads, you too, but this ain't your day. If you don't love the body of Christ, they won't. If you don't connect, they're not going to connect. If we as mothers don't trust the people and love the people that we go to church with, they're not going to do it either. But on the flip side of that, if they see you show up, they'll grow to love the house of God and not look at it like a chore, like something that they have to do. You know, if you're happy to be at church, they'll be happy too. If they see you pray, they're going to pray. They're going to love prayer. If they see you run to God, they're going to run to God. If they see you not giving up, they're not going to give up. And this applies to children of all ages. We set the example. The enemy does not have power in our home unless we give it to the enemy. Whether it's the enemy of our soul or just flesh and bone or both, the Word of God is clear that we have authority over anything that tries to enter our home. Over any distraction, any sin, any sickness, any disease. God has given us a special calling and a special ministry as mothers. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, we go through the stages. And I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, because they were talking about having toddlers. And I'm like, yeah, toddlers are fun. They're a blast. You know, you never know if you're going to, you know, get screaming and crying or laughing and loving. You just never know. But I worry about my grown children at the ages of 28 and 30 now more than I ever did when they were little, because I see them having to face the same kind of things that I faced. And I want to fix it, and they're grown, so I can't always fix it. I try to ask them. I try to. And they're like, Mom, I love you. I'm grown. It's okay. Everything's good. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. You're 4 years old and you can't handle this. Can I make you a casserole? Can I make you some cookies? Can I fix it? You know, that's what you want to do. But I want you ladies to take heart today. And I want you to know, and I want to encourage you that in this world that is getting darker by the day, everything is divisive these days, everything. And I just want to say how thankful I am to be a part of a church that is a Holy Ghost-filled, multicultural, thank God, loving, diverse church. I believe in what we're doing at Restoration. I believe in it. I believe in it. I celebrate it. I celebrate what we're doing. And when I say the best is yet to come, I mean it. I mean it. We will have that revival that has been prophesied over and over and over in this church. We will see those blessings. I believe it. I believe there some of them are here, and I believe that they're on the way. But I want to encourage you sweet mamas today to keep going. Don't stop. If you get tired, rest, but don't ever stop. Don't ever stop walking. You have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You can't decide to camp out and live in your little mud puddle with your little rain cloud over your head for the rest of your life and just be miserable. Because if you're not careful and you start doing that, you're going to identify as the issue and not the issue fixer. I identify with Him. I want Him. I want Him in my life. I want to be better. I want to be better. And I refuse to just sit and die in my dilemma and sit and die in my issues or my sickness or whatever I'm dealing with. And not only for myself, I want my kids and my grandbabies to know that there is so much more to this life if you have God in your life. More to this life than living and dying, more than just trying to make it through the day. I will quote songs all day long. For any of you that need to know, that's Stephen Curtis Chapman from 1989, something. But I just want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how much I believe in you. I want you to know, because I talk to so many of you on a weekly basis, I know what you go through. I get it. I get it. I understand. I understand what it's like to show up at church or show up every day dealing with something on the inside that you try to hide from your family because you don't want them to think that you're weak. And you don't want them to think that you don't have it all together. But I want you to know that if you're in this room right now, you're sitting in a room full of women that want to bear the burden with you. And we are so much stronger when we encourage one another and not tear one another down. We are so much stronger when we are locked arm in arm and realize that sometimes it really does take a village. It really does. And I love our little village. I love it. And I told you guys I wasn't going to be long. And so I just want you to be encouraged today and know that you're doing a really good job. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. You know, the Lord has been so good to me, and I can't help but praise Him. I just can't help but praise Him. He has delivered me from every fear. He has delivered me from the hand of the enemy. He has delivered me from myself. Anybody else feel that way? He's delivered me from my stuff. From the things that I face as a woman, as a mother, as a minister, as someone who is committed to kingdom work, and I want to be kingdom minded. You know, mamas, it's okay to be holy in front of your kids. They want you to be. It's okay to say no to the enemy. It's okay to get that world pleasing mentality out of your home. I am so unimpressed with this world. I know who I am and I know who I belong to and I know where I'm going. And that's what I want. I want that. I want to stand in the day of judgment and I don't want to have anything left. I want to be completely wore out for Jesus. As a woman and as a mother and as a grandmother. And I want you to know that if you're living this life and you're doing this thing and you're in this church and visitors, just come on. If you're a visitor today, just come on. We love you. We want you here. Just come to church. You know, this is a good place. And I believe in what we're doing here. But I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I want us to stand. I told you I wasn't going to be very long at all. And I want you, just for a moment, before we all come down to the altar, can we just have a moment, just put your hand over your heart. And I just want us to speak a prayer of protection, Men, you can do this too. You can speak a prayer of protection over every woman in this building, over every mother in this building, every grandmother in this building, every aunt in this building, every future mother in this building, every widow in this building. I want us just to take a moment and just pray a blessing and a protection over this place and over this body right now. Can you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.